Well, we've had some time this morning in worshiping God through song, and now we're going to move into a time of worshiping Him in His Word and listening to His Word. And it's been a great time this morning to see a young child give his life to Christ and then to follow Him in baptism. And that's the story of who we are at Fellowship of the Rockies. We seek to find chances to introduce people to Jesus Christ and then to watch them become followers of Him. So if you want to, you can open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 1, and while you're turning there, I'm going to ask God to just take this morning's message that we're going to speak in these passages that we're going to go through and do a work on our lives this morning together. Father, thank you for the chance and the freedom to worship in song with instrument, voices in our hearts. Thank you so much for empowering us in this place, for residing in our lives in the power of your Spirit. And Father, this morning we pray that as we look at passages of Scripture from the Book of Wisdom in your Word, it would challenge us in ways that we need to be challenged. Maybe, Father, even in ways that we need to be realigned, we become aligned. Father, help us to see the insights of this passage and accept it with our heart, knowing who we are and where we're prone to tend to stray, that, Father, today that would be fixed. Allow us to see the insights of who you are through these passages of Scripture and what you enjoy, what you delight in, and what you abhor. Father, we pray for that. As your congregation, we've come together to hear your word. And we say this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs is a book incredibly loaded about the concept between wisdom and not wisdom. And then in areas that's also calls people being fools. And you've heard it so many times, don't be a fool. And in our language, in our vernacular, in our society, in the English-speaking world, a fool is really probably, maybe at best, a little more than an insult to someone. But Proverbs speaks about a fool being something much more deeper than that, and maybe even something with a deeper problem in your life if you were to be labeled as a fool. Because a fool, according to the book of Proverbs, are people who have become so habitually out of touch with reality that they make life miserable for themselves and others around them. I mean, we all kind of know this, but we can't treat our body any way we want without consequences. We can't treat people any way we want and expect to have good friends and good strong families and relationships. We can't all live selfish lives and expect the social fabric of our communities to remain intact. It's not going to happen. But fools will do these things, and they'll be sowing those and reaping those, and they sow and reap then, therefore, discord and destruction. There's various forms of fools in Proverbs. That's not just one word, fool. There's like different categories that they're in. And whenever you look at those, we'll see that some of them are having different levels and different actions and behaviors behind them. But the ultimate fool, the ultimate foolish act of any human would be to place anything at the centers of their lives as the most important object in their lives other than the Almighty God. And the reason that that would happen is because it has dire consequences for eternity. Eternity would be hanging in the balance for a person who is a fool who says that this object, this person, this activity, this life is more important than the Almighty Creator. That person, Proverbs says, has an eternal destiny waiting for them. That eternally destiny waits for fools, which is going to be eternity without the presence of God. But there are ways that have a relationship with God and still probably even act like a fool at times. It's very, has serious consequences. But anytime a person puts anything in their life that is more important than the Almighty, it's always going to lead to some disappointment and a breakdown. Even Jesus Christ talks about the fact that, even Jesus Christ talks about the idea and the concept that a wise man built his house upon the rock, And a foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came and the storms came, the foolish man lost his home. There's a big difference in that because it deals with a lot of eternity and a lot of the reality that we face with in our lives. See, the fools fail to exist inside the boundaries of the realities in which we live. Physical, psychological, relational, and spiritual. They step outside of them. They want to live outside those boundaries that have been given by the Almighty Word of God. They want to live outside of those, and then they want to wonder why they sink. So there's a reason that we've chosen the key truth in our series this summer. And the key truth in your notes is found there is profit in Proverbs. And today's profit is literally not being foolish or not coming to destruction eventually in your life. Let me make sure that you have one more prerequisite comment before we dive into the very first one in the first passage of Scripture. There are several categories, as I mentioned, of fools in the Proverbs. You may be, now please do not disconnect when I say this. Please do not disconnect. You may not be in any category this morning. Go ahead. You can do this. You can do it. Go ahead. Only a couple of you are going to do it. We're going to do this all day. Okay, so you may not be in one of these categories, but don't disconnect, because one of these categories that show up today in Proverbs, you may be in the future, or greater yet, you might be able to help someone out of the category that you find in this passages of Scripture today as we glean some insights from the Word of God, that you might be able to be the person who has impactful change on another life because they're in one of these categories. Proverbs has several forms of them. So, because there's profit in Proverbs, and the first passage of Scripture that we want to look at is Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 22. It says this, if you found the passage of Scripture, it says, "How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge?" That first fool category that we come across is called the simple. In your notes, it's the simple one. The three kinds of fools that are mentioned in this verse, the first one is the simple. It's the one, as I mentioned before, that's out of touch with reality, but in a different kind of way. It's the simple. It's the kind of foolishness that's gullible. It's the person who is simply going to believe almost anything that they hear and repeat it. They're easily influenced. They're like almost like grown children who are so impressed by the spectacular and the dramatic and the flash that they will follow anything that's set before them. Some of them are simple so much that they need approval so much from other people so that they're taken in by forceful personalities who will give them that approval, and therefore they will follow along. They're the kind of simple people who support tyrant leaders who promise them peace and prosperity, and they have a tendency to be intellectually lazy. They don't really want to think through a matter and ponder it long enough to think, is this could be accurate or not? It's the person who walks out of the coffee shop after a friend's conversation, believing everything they hear and repeating it as truth. You've met them? Like only a couple of you have met a couple of those people like that. But you've met them, haven't you? They're all over the place. It's almost as if they don't want to think anything through the statement that they hear, so therefore they just believe it. They're the ones who raise the alarm on all of those conspiracy theories that you see on the internet, because obviously everything that you ask Google is true. Some of you actually just believe that. Not everything you ask Google and her answer is always true, okay? Just remember that. If you don't read it, if you read it on the internet, it's not always true. Some people think that that's how they get their information, their news. So what happens to them is that they can be an intellectual, simple person not wanting to think through things. I want to make sure that we get to the other side of that equation very soon, but before we do, I want you to understand another passage in Proverbs that describes this kind of person. In Proverbs 12, verse number 11, on the screen it says, "Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense." This is actually even more serious than the person that we say just doesn't have any common sense, doesn't have any street smarts, doesn't can't stay ahead of whatever's happening around them. These are the people that the Proverbs is talking about, living their lives chasing after fantasies that are never going to become reality. They're chasing after the get-rich-quick schemes that they fall prey to all the time. Now, the Bible says that the simple can change and they can learn sense. They also, though, can inherit folly. And if they do that, it's when they graduate into being full-blown fools. Now, just in case you've drawn an improper conclusion, I want to make sure that you understand something very clearly. Let's not make sure that we equal a person who is simple to a person who's unsophisticated. Let's make sure that we understand that the country folks who live in the country a simple life aren't equated as being fools or simple. Sometimes those country folks, extremely wise, have a lot of sense to them. They're generally a lot farther ahead of society than you think they are, right? So it's an attitude, because you can meet somebody who lives in the city in the high rise and is well-connected, well-educated, has a great job, super sophisticated, and is simple. Thank you for the nod. Some of you are with me a little bit. You're like, I think I know somebody like that. Good. Hopefully you're not in that category, but with instruction, we can rise out of that. Now, the passage we read about how long that you are simple and you love your simple ways and how long will you mockers delight in mockery, that second phrase inside that passage of Scripture is the fool category number two, the mocker. So you may not be a simple person and you may know a simple person, or and that may not be your category, but be careful, because the next one you may not be obsolete from. The next one might have more attachment to you than you think. Check it out. The mocker, Proverbs 1:22. Mockers in the Word of God prove, that word proves, it's not mental capacity that's the problem. It's actually an attitude that determines whether a person is wise or a fool. It's their attitude. See, here's the deal. At the root of a mocker is a character flaw that is a high pride that hates submitting to anyone. Their strategy in their life is to debunk everything, acting very smug and knowing all in the process. Mockers, though fools, they can be a fool. They're a fool, but they're a mocker. They appear to most people, in the eyes of most people, they're worldly wise and highly sophisticated. Maybe you've met some of them. They're highly intellectual, and therefore they have a lot of great intelligence. And they get into a discussion, and no matter what discussion they get into, they're going to debunk or they're going to dismantle that truth statement that was just uttered before them. Because of their intellect, they can start to whittle it away. That's a mocker. I'm not actually saying that you allow somebody to spout off improper and inaccurate information without some kind of rebuttal. But I am saying that to be careful that you want to debunk everything just because you want to debunk everything. When somebody says, you know, that there is the Trinity, there's three gods in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all three in one. There isn't three gods, there's one God. And the Trinity of the Christian faith can sometimes put a tax on the brain that is a little bit rough at times, that the person who's on the other side that's a mocker is going to say, that's incorrect. You can't have three in one. You either have one or you have none. You have one, you have three, you have three entities. You can't just have this. They can't be three different in one. A mocker is going to actually tackle that, and even though it's a proven truth from the Word of God, it's something that's way beyond our brains to understand, that is a faith, it's a fundamental of the Christian faith. A mocker says, I'm going to start to derail that. And that's in theology, but you could take it into regular day life living. People who always constantly want to challenge the consistency of that which seems to be true. A mocker. You don't want to be in a situation like that. They want to challenge every single thing that there is. And some things need to be challenged. Some concepts need to be challenged. Psalms, though, even in chapter 1, verse 1, says to be careful. Don't find yourself sitting in the company of mockers. It's almost as if they become a habitual response to almost everything they ever hear is to challenge it or to make mockery out of it. See, mockery will begin to poison you and poison your relationships because it starts to separate you and the other people away. We can easily become mockers and not even realize it. We can easily become a mocker by not investigating a situation, looking at something that we realize is happening, and walk away from it. We may think that a person who is destitute and is asking for help is like all of the rest. Have to be careful about that. There may be a point in which they really truly are. I mean, a simple conversation within a few seconds literally could tell you if this is a person who's out scamming or if this is a person who's really destitute and has fallen on some hard times. It can come very quickly in a conversation. But to be a mocker and say, that person categorically said this, did this, act this way, they're in that category, I'm done with them, and I walk off. You be careful because you haven't investigated everything with that. So hopefully in those lives, we've been able to take some time and have a conversation with a person and find out just how have you arrived to this situation that you're in your life, and allow them a chance to discuss their life, to find out if truly this is a fault of their own or something that they can be helped to get out of. That the mocker has a tendency to push back on every single thing as a categorical black and white, and there is no givens in any whatsoever. There's no discussion, there's no reason, there's no discourse. And it's quickly for us to do that. Whenever it comes to discussions of the Christian faith, we need to be careful that we're not quickly debunking every single thing that we read. It's one of the things that happens in the theological world is somebody writes a new book or writes an article and has a new thought in a passage of Scripture, and they submit it to the online theological world, and everybody zings in on it. And they immediately, quickly dismiss everything they want. You have to be careful that we're not mocking something that isn't to be mocked. That secondly, when it comes to the Word of God with clear-cut principles, like, hey, I'm outside of those, and they don't apply to me. That's a pressure that kind of comes around us over and over again. Our postmodern age allows us to live in a world in which deconstruction can happen easily. And the internet age makes mocking and scoffing a very easy task that we can do. You can do that. One of the guys in my accountability group that I have on Wednesday mornings was talking about having a conversation with a person online. And in the social media world, one of the guys in my group placed a Christian statement out and immediately received incredible, fierce onslaughts from another person who was mocking the statement. The guy in my accountability group says, we can't have this discussion on the internet age and on this worldwide media. We can't have this in real time. This conversation's over because the mockery began and there was no reasonable discourse between the two. So whenever a person's on one side so far from you and on the other side so far from on your side and there's no reasonable discourse, conversation isn't going to happen. One person's going to receive to be a mockery. So if you say that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven and the person on the other side of you wants to argue the fact that God wouldn't let bad things happen to good people, you're so far apart. If there is no reasonable discourse between the two, one becomes a mocker. I reject it. I'm done with it. I don't want to talk about it. I've made up my mind. That leads you into a third one too. That third one is danger as well. Because it says that we said those was a simple one, and then there's the mockery one. But in Proverbs 1:22, there's that last phrase, fools hate knowledge. In your notes, we call it stupid. God's much more politically correct in Proverbs than we were in our notes today. Fools hate knowledge. And in the terms of the great theologian John Wayne on the screen here, the guy says, life is hard, but it's a lot harder when you're stupid. And we're not, it's not 100% sure that he said that, but it's on a poster somewhere I saw, so we're going with it this morning. But he's got a point there, isn't it? But the Bible isn't talking about a stupid person as in a low intellect, maybe that way that the theologian John Wayne was saying it. The Bible talks about it in a different way. The Bible has a way in the Greek, in the Hebrew lexicon from the Old Testament, means literally has several definitions. A person who is a fool who hates knowledge is a stupid fellow. It's a dullard. It's a simpleton. We discussed that earlier. And it's an arrogant one. A fool's hate knowledge isn't meaning that like you're stupid and low intellect. You could be an arrogant one or a simpleton or a dullard. Sometimes there are people who reject the truth by not pursuing it. That's a dullard and a simpleton. I can see the truth out there, just I'm not going to investigate it. That's serious when it comes to the Word of God. Then there's a person who hates knowledge, or there's a stupid person who is aware and rejects. In other words, they are aware of the right path, but I choose it not. That's arrogance. I'm outside of this. This doesn't apply to me because I'm not like the others. That's a person who hates knowledge. The Word of God is very clear to be careful with that individual. That's why that can be a non-believer and a believer. The non-believer, that is reaping a consequence of eternal destruction at the end of their life. They will be into eternity without God. The believer, you're giving up serious rewards of walking with God because you've chosen, I want to hate knowledge and I want to love the simplicity of my own ways. Now, there's another kind of fool. It's found in Proverbs chapter number 6:6-11. This one, I want to read the passage of Scripture, and then we'll give it to you in the outline, and it's the next one. It's the number 4, the sluggard. It says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man." That fourth category of the fool is the sluggard. It's a good passage of Scripture because it really actually paints the picture of the wise and the fool, or the good and the bad, so clearly. It just makes it so obvious. The wise person, the characteristics of the wise person is that person who's a self-starter. They really don't need a lot of instruction except here's your end goal. And because of their internal motivation, they don't need threats to do their work. But they're also not impulsive. Instead, they practice delayed gratification. They hold off on what could be impulsive right now for something better later. So in contrast, though, the sluggard makes constant excuses for apparently small lapses in their judgment or their activities. And the Bible is trying to expand it by saying a little nap here and a bit of sleeping there and a bit of standing by and watching others. And then all of a sudden, there's no promotions. And possibly you're the first one to go when the layoffs happen. I'm not saying that that's going to happen every time. And it's not because if you ever got laid off, were you the one that was the lazy one? There are other circumstances that could happen. Proverbs is just saying that if you're not a hard-working individual, that could come about in a place for you later on, and that is where a fool's consequences start to surface up. What's amazing, though, that the Bible says is that these people, they don't put any effort into it, and then they're amazed by the poverty, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, and they get wondering why. But their whole life has been described as a person who has done little shortcuts, a bit of laziness here and there. And so then by inches and minutes, opportunities begin to slip away. The fool begins to lose sight of the importance of dependability and consistency, of being somewhere a day in and day out, working at something until you've accomplished it. Some people, we just realize that at times they just, Proverbs chapter 6 would speak to them and say, you got to work, got to be diligent about what you're completing. Life begins to slip away because of those missed opportunities, and then they want to look around and blame it. There's a fifth one. The fifth one is the one that, be careful of this one as well. Please be most careful of this one. It's the troublemaker. This person here is the person who enjoys constant conflict. In all the conversation, it's about the latest argument they've had with a person at work or a family member or their parents or somebody that they claim to be a friend. It's the exact opposite of the peacemaker in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become the children of God." The powerful image is in the opposite. The peacemaker is a child of God, meaning that the implication is that the troublemaker could be a child of the devil. The peacemaker is a bridge builder. It's a person who's, through their careful and their gracious words, they begin to bring answers to disarm and diffuse tensions between others. Some companies dedicate an entire job to the bridging of tensions, the peacemaker, the person who comes in and settles in on the quarrel that might be happening. But a troublemaker enjoys stirring things up. Now, let's make sure we understand something very clearly. The troublemaker is not a person who says, I am not going to bring this issue up so I can keep the false peace in the organization, because I'm not going to bring to the forbearance that we need consistent honesty within the organization. Get that in mind. There are times in which you might be labeled a troublemaker, but all you're trying to do is saying, we have a false peace in this organization that isn't really accurate, and I need to bring this to bear. I need to bring this up. This needs to have a discussion. But you're not doing it to stir up trouble. You're doing it to bring a resolution. Other like the troublemaker doesn't care about resolution. They just watch. They like to watch the drama. They throw in the little drama grenade and watch it go off by sending out signals this way with this person or through that person. They repeat conversations. They actually are a troublemaker. They're so advanced that they can actually have conversation with others through others. You ever met one of those? They already know who you're going to say, so they'll say it to you so you can go tell it to the other person. And that's how they have conversations back and forth. It's a troublemaker. Those are not very fun. I'm telling you what, you'll poison your relationship so fast, and you'll actually get discontinued in conversations with people who are wise. They will back off from that. See, there's a difference between that. In Proverbs 19:11, it says this: a person's wisdom yields patience, and it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. You see, when something happens to you or something happens to another individual that you do not need to call attention to and you can resolve without throwing in the dramatic hand grenade of troublemaking catastrophe, you do so. And certainly whenever it comes to you, I can overlook an offense when a person has created something that has happened and I don't have to call attention to it. But what they don't like to do is they want to get a hold of this, and a troublemaker will many times not present the other side fairly, and as a result, out of their mouth comes half truths and innuendos. Their body language creates a hostile situation rather than one that leads to a resolution. If you take a look at the passage of scripture that we have for this one, it's in Proverbs chapter number 6, verses 12 through 19. You'll have to look it up. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. Listen to this passage of scripture as it relates to the comments of the last few paragraphs that I've just described to you as a person who would be a troublemaker. A troublemaker and a villain. Verse 12. Interesting that they have such close descriptions in the book of Proverbs. You and I have vast differences between a troublemaker and a villain. Troublemaker is a fourth grader who just can't keep himself controlled in a school, and a villain is somebody that we really have to deal with. But Proverbs is saying this is a serious thing. It goes about with a corrupt mouth. Who goes about with a corrupt mouth? Who winks maliciously with his eye and signals with his feet, motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, and he's always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Proverbs is giving you an insight here to this individual could be written off an eternity without God in a moment's notice. It can also mean that the person who is alive and well, living, can be ousted out of an organization or a friendship circle quickly and without any remedy. You're done. You're not back in. You've seen that. Maybe it's happened. Maybe you even had to do that. This is what it's talking about. And then a verse that we'll be dealing with a little more next week, but it says six things that the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to him: a haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, and feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So that's the seriousness of this. If you're a troublemaker and you stir up conflict in a community, whether that's your church, your neighborhood, your family, your work, it made the top seven list of the things God just doesn't get into. Therefore, it might be an easy time in your life to be able to look at that troublemaker and say, I'm going to politely create some distance between me and that individual. Especially if they're also in the category of a mocker and they're not going to hear truth. and then ultimately in the category of stupid, and then reject knowledge. I might need to back some distance from that person. But if in the meantime, if you're able, and God has provided a pathway, you can get close to these people and help them possibly move beyond that. In other words, at the very end of your life, you can have a chance to be the individual that makes an impact on another individual by introducing them to the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, by giving them a chance to see what you've seen, giving them a chance to meet the one who changes lives, to meet the one whose standard is so high, but yet he comes and gives us the power to live in that. You would be that impactful change. You would be the person that introduces them to the one that's the Lord and the Savior who says, come unto me, I'll give you rest because it's my yoke that's upon you. You can do this. Finding yourself in any one of those categories is actually a blessing because you get a chance to leave it. Hearing this message today, finding yourself in none of those categories is a blessing because you may very well have an impactful conversation this week that will allow you to touch the life of somebody else to help them move beyond that. They're tough. Proverbs takes them kind of seriously. I think we should too. So as we get ready to take up our offering this morning and we pray, what we do is we just ask God, would you allow us to be the instruments of your change? And Father, allow us to not to be in this category that we have found in these passages of Scripture here. Send out that signal of help with somebody else in my community group or in my calendar group that I want help so that I'm not in any one of these categories because it looks very, very serious according to Proverbs. Father in heaven, thank you for powerful passages of Scripture. Thank you for clear-cut answers to life's problems that we continue to face. Father, help us here in this room this morning that if we were to look up today and find ourselves possibly in one of these categories, that we would consider it a chance and to deviate from that and to leave that pathway and not get back on it again. Father, we also ask that this morning if we were to find through these texts and these holy scriptures of yours that you've brought somebody into our life that is in one of these categories that we can have influence with. Oh, Father, give us the grace and the wisdom and the power to influence that. Oh, we want to see their life changed. Thank you for that chance. Father, we also ask that you take this offering this morning and use it to further the work of this Fellowship of the Rockies in this community and in the 8th Street community, and that we can reach people who need your son, Jesus Christ, because their eternal destiny hangs in the balance of that. Use us, Father, to touch their lives, introduce them to you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.